iPhone is here, the new iPhone, and a new watch. Got to get used to calling it the Apple Watch and Apple Pay. Lots of new products from Apple. We'll analyze it. Justine's here. Hi, Justine. Justine is Eric, along with Mike Elgin, and we're going to go down to Cupertino, where Andy Iannocco and Renee Ritchie are just coming out of the demo room, and find out what they think. Mac Break Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 419, recorded September 9th, 2014. Apple Watch. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 40 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off only image subscription packages on new accounts, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code MACBREAK914. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code MBW to receive $10 off at checkout. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, a very special edition of MacBreak Weekly, the post Apple announcement show. And joining us, Mike Elgin, our news director, who was here for the keynote and our live coverage. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Alex Lindsay, MacBreak Weekly official panelist, founder of the show. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
We will continue using the question engine at twit.to/iPhone6.
Yes.
So we'll give you a chance to ask questions of the panel. And we are so pleased to welcome back to MacBreak Weekly. In fact, I think she was on MacBreak Weekly very early on.
Very early on.
Justine.
Hello.
Great to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
You look great.
It's been a while. Thank you.
You didn't go to the event?
I thought about it. I mean, I actually had a Southwest ticket booked, but I was like, okay, I can't do this because I really didn't want to have to go to jail because I thought I'd be really excited.
Oh, you
want? I also camped.
You wanted camped to like
for,
to break in
donuts for 15 hours in LA, so I'm still a little exhausted from that. So
that was good. You were the first in line at the Dunkin' Donuts down there.
I was fourth, but I'm still proud.
I think you got on all the news though. The first three people must have just been losers.
They weren't as excited.
Anyway, great to have you back. Justine became very famous for her iPhone bill. Was that the first iPhone? I think it was.
It was. I actually have it right here. I've been holding
it.
Which the new iPhone kind of looks like a squished down version of the old one.
It does. It's
like
back it's round to rounded. Yeah.
I know. I like it.
So just to recap, Apple did announce a few products today. Nothing that we didn't expect. In fact, the rumor mill seemed to have gotten it pretty close to right on. Mm-hmm. Two new iPhones, a 4.7-inch iPhone 6, a 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus. Both will be available for pre-order Friday, the 12th of September, for delivery on September 19th. So unlike some rumors, it looks like the iPhone 5.5 will be available immediately. They also announced, as we expect, an Apple Pay system that allows you to touch to pay with the new iPhones using Touch ID to verify your purchase. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the features of that. And they finally announced a watch. I was getting to the point, Alex Lindsay, where I was starting to say, there's no watch. There's no watch. But there was.
And the Apple Watch.
Yeah. We are also joined by a live camera at the Flint Center in Cupertino, where the announcement just happened. And as soon as Andy Iannocco and Renee Ritchie emerge, because they were at the event, we'll get their thoughts as well. And if we see anybody else coming out the door, Tim Cook, just a minute before we began, walked by. He's got to feel pretty good. I think there was a little bit of a burden on him, some pressure on him to perform. This is not his first keynote since Steve Jobs left, but it's kind of the first new product that he's announced.
Yeah, and he seemed really genuinely excited. He seemed almost to the point where he was having trouble getting through his comments after they first announced the watch. And really, this is the first one where I felt like he wasn't in the shadow of Steve Jobs, where he wasn't in the wake of the funeral of Steve Jobs and all that kind of stuff. He really seemed excited. He really seemed to be in his element. I think the key is to keep Federighi off the stage.
Craig Federighi did not speak. Eddie Q did, sporting quite a Frankie Valli lurk look.
Yeah.
And we also saw Kevin Lynch, one of Apple's newest employees, formerly CTO at Adobe. We now know, I think, that what Kevin was hired to do is run the iWatch team. He did the demo of the iWatch. Renee and Andy are right now looking at it. In fact, Renee's just posted an Instagram. Apparently, the journalists are not able to... that's on my screen right now. Yeah, there we go. Apparently, the journalists are not able to touch the watch, but they do have actually working versions of the watch on display. Justine, I'm sure you were excited about the idea of an iWatch or an Apple Watch, as they chose to call it.
So excited. Like, I didn't actually think I was that excited until I started using, like, the Pebble. And then I know this is MacBreak, but I do actually have a Samsung Galaxy and I have the Gear 2. So kind of using those two together, I really actually got a feel for how awesome it is to have sort of that separate device for just taking photos really quickly, to getting maps, and just seeing text messages that might not be important. And I knew as soon as Apple came out with their version of this, there's going to be no competition. I mean, it looks amazing. Although I'm kind of interested because I'm left-handed, so I wear my watch on the opposite hand. It's going to still kind of interfere because the little switch is going to be on the opposite side.
No, you're right. I'm left-handed. Sarah Lane is left-handed. We were both wondering if there'll be a way to reverse it, as there is with...
Actually, there probably could be.
Yeah, and then the stem would be lower instead of higher, but it would still work if you put it on that side. I think we're just going to have to get used to wearing a watch on our left hand.
I don't think I can do it.
Like you, I've been using Android Wear watches and the Pebble watch as rehearsal, right? Yep. I mean, we're just saying, well, let's see what this could be.
That's right.
Do you feel like Apple has solved some of the problems of these early attempts at smartwatches?
They've solved something because the Android Wear watches and the Samsung watches and the Pebble have made extreme exceptions, and they've really, I mean, look at the Pebble, one of the early success stories in the smartwatch space. The screen is like a Kindle. It's like super low
e-paper.
Res. It's like,
yeah.
And so you think, well, that's the trade-off you make. You have a super low quality, low
it's
res
not even
screen.
Touch.
It's not touch, but you get great battery life,
right.
And that's the trade-off, and people accepted that trade-off. And here, when you look at this, I thought Apple would make an elegant, round, much more rounded, much smaller, maybe a round watch face type device that was very thin. They're really obsessed with thinness. And yet this thing is enormously thick and fat. And they did it clearly in order to have a super high-res screen with smooth animation and touch screen and all the rest, Siri support. And it's got to have a big enough battery to get you through the day, presumably. And so really, they didn't make exceptions. They really geared it toward power and not thinness, lightness, and all the rest.
Watch won't be available till next year. We know it'll be $349, the starting price. Three models available, including the Apple Watch Edition, which is in 18-karat gold. It's got to be $1,000.
And I think it's interesting that we saw Apple not release. Usually, I mean, in the near past, they have not announced something that far in advance. So they're usually ready to sell within the week, within 2 weeks of announcing something. I wonder whether they really just did this to sandbag all the other watches for Christmas. You know, like, is what they've now done is basically said, now we're going to, it'll be interesting to see what the sales look like for all these other watches, because now they've said, hey, this is what you have to live up to. No one can react to this in time, and they're going to come out, and now they've, and because obviously they weren't ready to do it right now, but they were ready enough to show it off, and now what they're basically doing is having everybody who was going to finally maybe break down wait until January to see what it looks like.
It's called FUD, Alex.
Yeah.
And this is the iPhone playbook, because when Steve Jobs announced the iPhone in January of 2007, everybody was like, wow, this is a unique, because usually Apple announces a thing and it's available right away. But they did it for exactly the reason. These phones were all coming out of the woodwork, and he wanted to get in front of it and basically give people 6 months of not buying anything else,
right,
so that they'd be ready to buy the iPhone.
Which one are you going to get, Justine? You're going to get it. I'm assuming you're going to get it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if I could have bought it today, I would have probably went and waited in line. But I really like the rose gold, because as I said, I had the Samsung, the Gear 2. I had the gold one, and I love the rose gold. But that's the hard thing, too. It's like, how is this going to match everything? And they have the sport edition, which I love the addition of having all the health benefits of this, because I've had so many watches, and they just did not actually work. So I'm finally really excited that Apple has kind of come into that space. So it's going to be... interesting. I don't know. I can't decide. I can't make this decision.
I could buy all three.
Really stressful.
They did solve one problem by having interchangeable bands. Mm-hmm. That makes it really easy for you to at least have other bands, so you can have some different looks. We have a early demo. This is from Bloomberg Businessweek. Apparently, Stan was able to. Oh, there goes Stephen Fry. Stephen Let's take Fry. A quick look. Stephen Fry leaving the Apple event. He was there signing autographs, tweeting. Stephen Fry, of course, the British comedian and star of QI on BBC, I think.
He's holding a watch.
Is he holding a watch? Yeah. If you're going to give a watch to somebody, I'd give it to Stephen Fry. That's for sure. He's holding something. great. It's great to see him. He is such a talent. And, of course, that was one of the things that's interesting about this event. They had a large space and did apparently invite people from entertainment and from fashion. Because, after all, if you're going to sell a $1,000 watch or even a $350 watch, you've got to get people in fashion wearing it.
Well, and that adds the cachet when the press is there and everything else of seeing these different stars celebrities. It's kind of almost the Ted aura kind of thing.
Here's Sam Grobart from Businessweek, Bloomberg Businessweek. He's actually doing the first hands-on of the watch. Looks like
the Apple Watch. Actually,
you don't have to play his audio. The watch looks like it's in a demo mode. He's not touching anything. So whether they have a working watch or not, I don't know. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Now, there was a point of controversy early when we first saw the interface that we're looking at.
What is going
on?
Apparently, something weird is going on with Stephen Fry right now. I don't know.
They're taking a selfie.
Can you jump to that? They apparently has decided to kidnap one of the fans. Maybe he's showing him the watch. What is going on? I bet you that's an Apple employee who said, hey, Stephen, can I show you something? Oh, no.
It's
a selfie.
And he couldn't see the screen because he's got a...
So sad.
iPhone.
Oh,
poor Stephen Fry.
Light.
This, if anybody ever tells me that Stephen Fry is not nice to his fans, I'm going to show them this video and say, this man gave this guy 10 minutes.
That was the best footage we got so far.
So far, that's the king of the... So back to Bloomberg Business Week. It's clearly in a demo mode. It's doing stuff, but not stuff that the reporters were triggering. So...
Evidently, if you're Bloomberg,
it's not FUD exactly. I mean, remember Apple had 4 or 5 working prototypes of the iPhone when they announced it in June 2007. They had, I don't know how many working iPads when they announced that in January. And it took them months to get those.
I think it's working. I think that what they don't have is probably working at this point. It's not that it's not working. I think that it's not being produced in mass yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that the factories haven't really turned on and.
There are more than a few. I mean, if you look at the demo table, there's dozens of them on the demo table. So, the site right now on the Apple website, and apparently the store is up. You can't order this watch, obviously, but it's only showing 2 sizes, 38 millimeter and 42 millimeter. This is one of the issues, Justine, that a lot of people have referred to, is that these watches are so big, they really seem suited for men's wrists, but not for women's wrists. Do you mind wearing a bigger watch?
I don't. And I think a lot of people, that's kind of like the trend right now, at least, is like wearing like the big chunky watches. But I mean, but they do have the smaller version. So I don't know if that's going to like kind of be able to like hinder being able to see the screen. I'll probably get the larger one, actually. I don't know. This is all going to depend on what it looks like in person. I'm so sad I'm not there. I just want to see them.
It's a custom version of iOS, I'm guessing. They mentioned an A1 processor. It obviously has some motion detection capability. Jay Blahnik, 18-year consultant at Nike, a fitness expert, came on stage to demo the fitness features of the new Apple Watch. I'm going to have to get used to saying Apple Watch. And he talked about how one of the things the health kit could do is monitor whether you're standing or sitting and tell you how many times you've stood up. And you'll get a nice ring if you stand up 12 times in a day and things like that. So some activity monitoring. They have a pulse rate monitor on the back.
I'm not going to stand for that.
Do you use a fitness band of any kind, Justine, to monitor your...
I do. I've used pretty much every single one. And then I think Fitbit is still my favorite. But also, have you seen like the Misfit Shine?
I love that one.
The
problem is these are all just glorified pedometers. And I really, if this is
going
to be anything useful, it's got to... You brought this up, Mike. It's got to be able to measure, for instance... Or was it you? It was you, Alex, lifting weights. And,
right.
You know, none of these devices will know that I'm riding an exercise bicycle or a regular bicycle, for that matter.
I mean, I think that's good why this has integrated with the heart rate and stuff like that. I've used the Basis Fitness Watch, which is probably one of the ones that is closest to actually being able to have an accurate heart rate and kind of monitor that, because that's really the only way you're going to be able to actually tell if you're actually doing something instead of just walking around. But a lot of them aren't that accurate either. So I'm hoping that Apple has finally solved this issue. And even with the Samsung, whenever it would be too hot or you would sweat, it would just stop working. So I'm hoping that that's not a problem that they're going to run into as well.
Andy Inako apparently got to put the watch on as well, and it made his eyes pop out. It's on my screen right now, Chad, if you want to show that.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a very fashionable look. Look at how elegant that looks.
You know what? Andy's a big guy, and it doesn't look big on his wrist. In fact, it looks a little small.
Yeah, he needs...
It does.
He needs the big one.
He needs the Apple Watch Plus.
Yeah. But that's interesting. He does seem happy. He has a Moto 360 on the other wrist, so and he is an embarrassment of riches. One of the things they mentioned is that the new Apple Pay will work with this watch, but what they didn't mention is how it will authenticate when they demonstrated Apple Pay using the phone. And by the way, you require an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus to use Apple's new payment system. You use the fingerprint reader to authenticate. I'm not sure how it would work with a watch. The only sensor I could see was on the back, which is a pulse. Mm-hmm. A heart rate monitor. And those heart rate monitors, your gear has one, doesn't it, Justine? They
it
only
does,
work
yeah.
when you're not moving.
Yeah, you have to not move or don't talk either, because it'll also kind of throw off the accuracy of your heart rate, which is it's kind of crazy, because even if you're like working out, you're like, this isn't doing anything.
Yeah, so, it's of limited use. It's not, you know, it's not a real heart rate monitor if you can't measure your workout.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Eric Smalling asked on the question engine is, could Apple be using the wrist biometric sensors for Apple Pay authentication in place of Touch ID?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's ready yet. I think that somewhere down the road that could happen, but probably not in the first version.
It is a touch screen, and you can talk to it. You can answer phone calls with it and talk to Siri and give Siri commands with it. That's kind of cool.
It's nice that you can use it on the older phones, too, so that's not alienating anybody. Basically.
All the way up to what, four? Did they say the iPhone 4?
I think so. Yeah.
There's 5C.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it's all the 5s because it does need Bluetooth LE. So it starts with the 5. The 5 and the 5C.
Well, the 4S was the first with Bluetooth LE. And so it could include
it could,
that as well.
But I don't think it did.
It'd have to be iOS 8 and also.
Maybe. Well, see, and you could put a 4S, you could put an iOS 8 on a 4S according to Apple. So I'm not sure what the hold up is, but I think on the screen they showed you need a 5 or later.
I love the MagSafe charging. Most of these watches have the most annoying charging systems. They've got like these things where you have to like snap them into place, and it never actually works. So this is really nice.
Yeah, my Android Wear, and most of them have pogo pins on the back that you have to dock it. And they didn't say Qi charging. I bet it's not Qi charging. Knowing Apple, they're not going to use a non-proprietary charging technology. But they have a little disc that snaps right into the back of the watch magnetically, and so that'll make it easy to charge. I got to tell you, though, and notice all the heat that Motorola is taking because of questionable battery life on the Moto 360. Apple didn't say anything about battery life. I'm sure, as you said, that's why it's so thick. But if you don't get through, you got to get 16 hours, right?
Yeah, not just through a day. You have to be able to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and have it still working at 11 o'clock on Friday night.
I agree.
You know, because if it just goes out at like 7:30 p.m., then...
That's your watch.
Exactly.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things that you'd want it to do that some of the fitness bands will do is, you know, for instance, monitor you overnight, so on and so forth. And I think those, independent, you know, with
that's
the
another
current
point.
Battery issue,
won't
be able to do it.
I use... Sleep as Android or something like that.
How long does
Android.
That battery last?
And supposedly it works on this, but the problem is this gets to you through a day and a little bit more.
Right.
So you don't want to wear it all night. People have been making a big deal about how the Pebble goes 3, 4, 5 days and none of these other watches go for more than a day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to charge my phone every night. I don't mind charging my watch every night, right?
I would like at least 2 days, though. That would be
why?
Nice. Well, I mean, because a lot of times, especially if you're traveling.
Do you do a lot of sleepovers?
Not really, but it is like the traveling thing. There'll be times where I'm not able to, you know, get to an outlet. And I mean, I never leave the house without a Mophie or two, because you can't get through the day without any of that. So as long as you're able to sort of charge that, but it's just another thing. This battery life is just so frustrating.
We got to solve this. Yeah, I agree. iJustine is here. Justine is Eric at iJustine on Twitter, and she's so great. How many YouTube channels do you have now? 8?
I cut down to three.
Oh, so, yeah, wow.
I cut back. I was like, I can't do this. I'm getting too stressed out. I need time to play video games.
I think her sister Jenna is behind her right there.
She
left.
She went.
She left.
She was there.
She's so camera shy. So nice to have you back. Alex introduced us way back when.
Back yes, in the day.
We met back at an UnCamp. Justine and I met back at an UnCamp in Pittsburgh.
Was it the WordPress camp or something like that?
It was a podcast.
It was
a podcast. That UnCamp, wow. PodCamp Pittsburgh or whatever. And there was just one. I was doing a green screen talk, and there was one person asking all the questions. That was Justine.
I remember we were doing the Mac Break Weekly at the 21st Amendment Brewery. So this was maybe 8 years ago, seven years ago. And a beautiful woman sits down at the table and immediately starts doing stuff on her phone. I thought, I think she's in the wrong. She's in the wrong place. She doesn't belong here.
And it was, I had my Sprint trio. I remember that.
It was a trio.
It was a trio.
Wow.
The iPhone.
Even then, click, 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 yep. Click, click, click. And so Alex is here too, and of course Mike Elgin. We're going to take a break. We're still watching the door, so to speak, across the street from the Flint Center in Cupertino. As soon as somebody emerges, we'll see if we can grab some people. We're looking for a big black hat and a Canadian guy. Rene Ritchie and Andy Anacco are in there somewhere.
Sounds like an episode of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
And we'll talk to them in a minute from Cupertino. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Shutterstock. I was watching, what was the movie? I was just watching a movie, and at the end of the credits it said Shutterstock, thanks to Shutterstock.com. Even movies, even major Hollywood films use Shutterstock. I'm guessing they use video clips from Shutterstock. They have more than 40 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, all royalty-free. That means you pay once and you can use them. The contributors there are so good, many of them professional photographers, videographers, and artists. Of course, they review every image for content and quality before they add it to the library, and that's a good thing. See, there's the editorial stuff. Look at that. That is so great. So, I mean, really, there's a lot of reason that you would need Shutterstock. It's not just images and illustrations. It's editorial, too. Very useful. They add more than 250,000 new images every single week, so that's why that's important. They've got a really good search engine at Shutterstock.com. Very sophisticated. I've never seen better. You can search and drill down by subject, by color, literally by color. They'll give you a color wheel, and you can say, I only want blue iPhone images, and you'll get that. You could even say, I want two people in it, one man, one woman. You could say what emotion they're expressing. It's just incredible. I want you to play with it. In fact, you can create a free account right now. You don't need to give them a credit card. Just go to Shutterstock.com. Not only will you have some fun using the search engine, you can create light boxes, share them so you can save images. They have an amazing iPad app, Webby Award winner. That's just gorgeous. They're now on Android as well. Multilingual customer support in more than a dozen countries and full-time throughout the week. So if you need support, I never have, but if you do, you can go right to Shutterstock and get it. Try it by signing up for that free account. Begin using Shutterstock for inspiration, for ideas. It's great for blog ideas if you're a blogger.
You got to have it if you're a blogger. That's just all there is to it. If you have a non-visual blog,
Post. That's the rule, at least.
And they have images that don't look like stock photos.
Well, that's the most important thing, right?
Good. And they have brands too. So if you're writing a thing about Facebook,
there's Apple, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's fantastic.
I've used a lot. I mean, I've used these in films, TV shows. I mean, the big thing is you do the math when you're building one of those. One of the things we've done a lot of is taking some of the city images that they have.
Why shoot that helicopter image? Here comes Andy Anacco. He's coming on over. So let's finish this up. Once you decide to purchase at Shutterstock, use the offer code MacBreak914, and you're going to get 20% off image subscription packages. That's a good deal. We actually have a 25 image a day package. It's great. Shutterstock.com. Use the offer code MacBreak914. For September 14th and 20% off image packages at Shutterstock. We thank them so much for their support of Mac Break Weekly. Now, this is going to be a little bit like talking to Afghanistan because we are down there in Cupertino using something called a Live View. We've used it before. It's yours, and I thank you for lending it to us.
Absolutely.
That gives us a connection live in real time via LTE, but there is internet latency. So we think there's 1 or 2 seconds.
It's 3. It's right. It's set
well,
to 3
depends.
Right now.
It's set to 3? Okay.
I can turn it down.
So there'll be... Can you turn it down?
I can take it over. Hold on.
We're getting a great image. I can't believe it.
We'll see what it looks like when we turn it down.
Turn it down.
Okay, hold on.
We don't need to see Andy in high def.
Okay, hold on.
I mean, look at...
I'm used to seeing him high def.
We're used to seeing him in... I don't know what's going on with the camera. There we go. Andy Anacco. And I don't know if he's going to be able to hear me, but let's see if he can. Andy is in Cupertino. Andy, welcome to Mac Break Weekly. We're joined by Justine, Mike Elgin, Alex Lindsay, and I already have seen the tweet you put out of you bulging, your eyes bulging with the Apple Watch.
No, I'm just, it's pretty dark in there, so if you want to get those diopters functioning in your own metabolic processes, you got to basically give them some help.
We have a little bit of latency, so a couple of seconds.
I've been examining tiny, tiny pixels for the past hour.
And that's my question. Now, I know it was in a demo mode. It didn't look like you could actually manipulate it, but you were at least able to watch it. So what's it like? Does it feel big? Does it feel thick? How does it compare? You've got the Moto 360. What does the screen look like? It's obviously a high-res screen.
Yeah. Yeah, the resolution on the screen is fantastic. You really have to strain your eyes to see any pixels whatsoever. Obviously, every time Apple does an event like this, they create a room in which their screens look great. But even under those conditions, you have to say that screen looked great. Big punchy colors. There is a mode where it's showing you. There's a special button when you punch it. You see pictures of your favorite contacts, and every picture in there looked like a beautiful tiny little cameo portrait, as opposed to just like an avatar little icon. It's really, really, really quite a treat to use it. The weight is surprising. Well, they do have three different models. If you have the sport model, that's made out of a special kind of aluminum, that feels pretty okay. It feels about the same weight as the Moto 360 on my wrist, which is so light that oftentimes I forget that I have it on. I go back into the bedroom to get it off the charger. Oh, wait, no, you actually have it on. If you have the stainless steel model, that's a big chunk of watch. Not so much that it's going to intimidate you. I mean, if you're familiar with high-quality watches, you have definitely felt watches this solid before, but maybe you're not quite expecting it to be that big. Everything's rounded over. There's no blemishes. So the fit and finish is perfect. They have the leather magnetic watch band is the one that I wore. But instead of having a buckle like this, it just simply flaps over itself and holds fast, which means it's infinitely adjustable. And I was maybe I should have asked first, but after they put this on my wrist, I went like this to see if it would fall off, and it was holding just perfectly fine.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing because I'm not sure I'd trust a magnet. Those bands do look really nice. So what do you think, Andy? You're going to charge $349.
It depends on which one you get. The cheapest one is that. I have to go back to my notes to find exactly what it is. It's typical pricing, I thought, for an Apple product, which is it's certainly more expensive than whatever the rest of the industry has decided is the going rate for this sort of product, but not so much expensive that you wouldn't say, well, hell with it, I'll wait a few more months, or I'll make this the kids' combined birthday and Christmas present. It's what remains to be seen is how well all of this stuff works together, because as you say, there's the one thing you absolutely were not allowed to do was to touch it. Jason Snell is the hero of our little group because he actually was able to put a finger on it. And I think that whoever was let him do that was hustled out under a bag. But yeah, we were very, I tried to even take, I met some friends of mine who work for Apple, one of which who had one on, and it was like, okay, I can't show you this, and I can't let you do this, and that's okay. So that's fine. You have to ask anyway. So, that's no different than what the original iPhone was like. I got a briefing for that one in which I got to actually use one of these things that was 3 months away from being shipped, and there were a couple of things that it worked except for one or two apps that weren't ready yet. So maybe that's the situation, because obviously if you let just 100 different journalists poke and prod, they're going to find the one app that's just a JPEG, and then they say, oh, well, you know, the Notes app isn't functional. Oh, it's just a painting. And then they might, using that tone of voice in their writing, do something that's completely unhelpful and uncalled for. It'd be interesting to have a greater picture based on that, but you get what you get. The most interesting thing that I found is that not a peep as to what the battery life is. I was so scraping for details that I had to take quick notes as Tim Cook was talking about this wonderful inductive magnetic charging system, and I heard him say, it's so easy to use. You're going to find this so easy to connect to the charger every night. Anyway, look at the styling of the bands. And so I don't know if that means that they are expecting one day of life per charge, but we'll see how that goes. Again, so many unanswered questions, but I think that what we were looking for is, does this thing look like it's something that's cool? Does it immediately sort of activate the lizard part of your brain that says acquire, acquire, acquire. And it certainly did that, certainly to a better extent than any of the Android Wear watches from LG or Samsung. And the Moto 360, I think this is a really, really nice watch. I've been wearing it for the past 4 or 5 days. I've been testing it for review later this week, and I've been finding it very, very useful. And even that doesn't look quite so nice compared to the Apple Watch. And I was surprised that I would like a square wristwatch like this. But again, like so many things, they solve the problem.
Andy, we should talk about phones, too, because, I mean, as much attention as the watch is getting, Apple did announce new phones, 4.7 and 5.5-inch iPhone 6s. Give us your thoughts on that.
The 5.5 is a wonderful device. It might my realize that when I'm talking to you today, I'm talking about immediate reactions, and my first reaction is this could be finally the perfect phone, because the size is right where you want it to be. It's roughly Pop-Tart sized, but it's not like the size of Pop-Tarts when we were kids. There's the new kind where they're only like they're a few ounces lighter, but it's large enough that you feel like you're having a real experience with a phone and the media that you're using, but not so big that I can't imagine sticking this in a pocket somewhere. And the oddly, they've made some nice adjustments to how to use a phone like this one-handed. Now, if you double tap the Touch ID, the top half of the entire screen shifts downward and leaves the top half of the screen blank. So that puts the top half of touch controls underneath your thumb. And then to dismiss it, I wasn't able to intuitively figure out how to dismiss it without tapping something. But if you do action something, then it goes back up again. The turning it on its side will turn into like a, you have an iPad-like effect. The thing that kind of surprised me was I was trying to do like three and four finger gestures that you can do on the iPad. Like if you're in a side app, go like that, and you'll go back to the home screen. That didn't seem to work, but that might be because I'm not used to doing it on such a small screen. Or they could have just simply said, you know what, that's ridiculous. People are not going to want to use it to do it that way, so we're not going to make it like that. I will say something that we were all looking forward to 5.5 inches. We're all looking forward to 4.7 inches. What I really came across with, as impressed as I was with the rest of the stuff, is what a change it is when you round the corners of all of these devices. We haven't seen that, you know, since the iPhone 2, the iPhone 3. And this one's even better than the iPhone 3GS because the entire thing is rounded. And we've been holding these sharp-edged iPhone 4s and 5s in our hands. And again, it's not like, oh, my God, my hand, these top corners, I can hardly take it. But when you have these smooth features inside this thing that you're going to be holding for 5, 10, even 20 minutes at a time, it's so soothing. It's so comfortable. You really like that tactile interface. So it's not so much that if I had just bought an iPhone 5S 3 months ago, I would throw it away and buy an iPhone 6. But boy, if I were even 20% away from being on the fence, holding that says, you know what, if I want to be using a phone for the next 2 years, I think this is the one I want to be using.
Well, and even more importantly, Apple's third announcement was Apple Pay, and that will require either the watch or an iPhone 6. And that looks like they nailed it as well. What are your thoughts there?
It really is the way that I would like to see it done, in that it's not you would hate it if it's, oh, we've brought aboard the Apple Store and Starbucks and Best Buy, and we're making deals with other retailers. No, they went to the source. They said, here are the major credit card transactors. We will make sure that every major U.S. credit card is supported, and at least the big three are in the ballpark. Also, we're going to target the biggest retailers to make sure that their point of sale display systems work fine. This is actually a really timely announcement because it's important to know how to treat this like an endurance event. I got in my pocket here. I made a stop at Walgreens literally on the way over there to get some protein bars because you never know if you're going to be a little bit hypoglycemic at around 1 or 2, but you still got to make your deadline. And so I went to stopped off at Walgreens on the way. Oops. Sorry, I'm losing my earphone here. Stopped off at Walgreens on the way, and my card would not work. Not because I don't have $3 worth of credit on my card, but because there's a little tiny little nick in the mag stripe. And so I have to just go four or five times. Finally, I had to use that trick where you wrap it in a plastic bag, and that made it work. And so I think that sometimes there's some days I feel as though I am not one of God's beloved. Some days you feel like you're one of God's chosen. So when you find yourself needing to write about a new advanced method of retail payment, God gives you a situation like that to use as your lead-off paragraph. It really does show off, and in addition to the security features, which all look great, the convenience factor is going to be great as well. And that, by the way, is pointing out why you need an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, because it's not just an update to an operating system. It really is a piece of silicon inside that device that does nothing but hold trusted information so that no bad people can get at it. The other surprising thing is that even the Apple Watch, I have to stop saying iWatch, start saying Apple Watch.
Yep.
The Apple Watch can also use this system as well. Based on the video or the photo they use, I'm guessing that the NFC antenna is right at the very, very top here, because you notice that whereas in the phone videos, they just sort of held it very, very closely, didn't even necessarily seem to tap it. With the watch, they seem to be very explicitly holding the top edge of it on that pad there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that it's... There's the small difficulty between the payment system and the watch system is that they're not making something that is platform agnostic. If you want to run Windows Phone, God love you. But if you want to run an Android phone, you can't use this payments. You can't use this watch. And so they really are underscoring once again that if you buy into Apple, we will pay you off in the form of great things that make it all work together really, really well. So I'm a little bit disappointed that they haven't solved the problem for everybody. They've just solved the problem for people with phones.
I want to show you real quickly. This is
not heartbroken, but it would be nice.
Yeah, this is a video from Joshua Tobolsky of that mode that you were talking about, where it slides down the one-handed mode on the 5.5 as soon as you touch the home button. That's a little weird. That's going to take a little getting used to, but I'm sure you can turn that off. Andy, did you get to file? I know you wanted to file for the Chicago Sun-Times. You want to run and do that?
I have not filed yet. If you got any more questions, I'll answer them. Fortunately, I'm not an Engadget guy who has to be tweeting right from the event. I'm the Obi-Wan who thinks and considers and then counsels and advises. So if I file this afternoon instead of right now, that's perfectly.
Oh, all right. Because I know we'd like to keep you around if we can.
And yes, I'm breaking in a new impression so that I can tax deduct. I'm trying to tax deduct some Jedi robes I'd like to get made. So please encourage me to keep doing Alec Guinness impressions.
Indeed, Obi-Wan. Indeed. Hang in there. Andy Iannacco, he's live from the Flint Center in Cupertino, where he's just come out of the Apple event. Renee Ritchie will pop in at a moment's notice, I'm sure, and maybe we can get both of them on at the same time. Can you hang out for just a few more minutes, Andy?
Want to see the goodies that we got afterwards?
Yeah, what'd you get?
A watch.
Yeah, I think you want to see what I was handed when I left. Don't know yet because I haven't opened it.
All right, let's see it.
And the winner is.
It's a reveal.
It goes like that. I literally have not opened this. So you're seeing.
It's a Christmas card.
It's a reveal.
Robin boxing.
And hey, look, it's pictures of
the watch.
Pictures of people using
postcards.
The watch.
Oh, nice.
This is what you don't have.
this is interesting because I can't see what this big. This is like Kreskin. It's like sis boom ba. Describe the sound of an exploding goat.
So Andy, maybe you can answer the big.
So yeah, nice little tchotchke to send us home with.
No, you know, at one point I thought he was going to say.
I'll be very disappointed if I find out that.
At one point I thought he was going to say, and you're all going home with one today, and he didn't. And
a picture of one.
Yeah, you got a picture. Well, that's good. That's good enough.
You know, you can see the big white box behind us. And, of course, I've spent, like, the past week just idly sort of wondering why do they need a space that big if they're using a facility. And a lot of ideas, like, maybe they don't like for the after-event facilities, they don't have a good green rooms, maybe they don't have a good demo room. Part of me was, maybe they have 500 watches and they need a way to distribute them to 500 people in a methodical fashion.
Yeah.
And to keep them secure in a property that they control. That was wishful thinking, but it's why have wishful thinking about something you don't like? Having wishful thinking about a Samsung smartwatch it would be pathetic.
Yeah, oh, I wish they'd give us that. No, not at all. All right. Hey, Andy Iannacco, down there in Cupertino doing yeoman work. We are live. We have a little bit, as you probably noticed, of latency, but that's still amazing that we're able to talk to you. This is almost like a real TV operation. Mike, it looked like you had some questions.
I have
for
two
Andy.
Questions, yeah. The questions of the day so far, concerned.
I'm even doing the Les Nessman thing because the earpiece has fallen out. This is absolutely accurate 21st century media with the old world charm.
It's perfect, Andy. It's absolutely perfect. Please keep doing that.
Happy.
Yeah.
New Apple Watch.
Okay, so the big
from
two
Apple. Computer.
I think he's been looking at pixels.
As God
too
is
hard.
My witness, I thought Bono could fly.
All right, so a couple of questions. The first is, what happened to Sapphire on the phones? And secondly, how do you authenticate the watch for a purchase? He may not have heard me.
Happy new... Andy, can you hear us at all? Damn, we were doing so good.
Oh, yeah,
I can hear you now. You were gone for a few seconds, I guess.
So Mike wanted to know... go ahead, say it again, Mike.
Yeah, so the first question is, what happened to Sapphire on the phones? We're expecting at least Sapphire on the big iPhone. And how do you authenticate a purchase with the Apple Watch? Any idea?
I'm not hearing you.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take it back to the studio, but let's go back down there when we get that working and when Richie stops by. But it's really nice to be able to talk directly to somebody who's already used the devices. To be honest, I'm as excited about the iPhone 5.5 inch, the 6 Plus, as I am about the iWatch. And the good news is we are going to be able to get that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think they're changing batteries is what they're
doing. No, I'm changing the latency.
Oh, thank you. Hold on. Apparently, Alex has control of all of this.
I'm running the live view from here.
If only Alex had been running the live stream for Apple. Did you have the same problems, Justine, as we did? Were you hearing Chinese interpretation?
I'm glad I was not live streaming the things that I was saying trying to watch this. I had like three computers. I'm like throwing things and swearing. It was so frustrating, and I'm trying to watch like the live feed and also watching like text updates. I'm like, these text updates are not doing it justice. And then there was a translator over top of it. It was a disaster until almost halfway through. It was really embarrassing.
I think they should have had you do it.
Yes, Alex.
Next time,
he's
the
guy. You know, I will say in Apple's defense, those with the number of people watching and the number of moving parts,
those are
very, very difficult streams to pull off. They have done better in the past, but they haven't had as many moving parts. They haven't tried to probably send translations to China. You know, there's a lot of things
These events are the biggest thing we do all year long. I can imagine traffic.
You've got millions of people hitting the CDN. So Akamai is getting, and what we probably saw was issues with what happens is that the edge network is you're getting it, and what's happened is some of them are going down because they're just getting overwhelmed. I mean, that's my guess.
So let me see. I think we maybe have got. Can you hear me now, Andy? Or he's taking a picture with his Moto X. I am so jealous. I'm going to kill you, Andy. I want that Moto X and I want that Moto 360. Of course, I'll be getting an iPhone 5.5 in about 10 days. So.
Can't wait.
do you want to fly like 12,000 miles in 1 week?
No. Yeah, Andy was in Chicago for the Motorola announcement last week, and now he's in Cupertino, and then he's going back home. I know tonight because I saw your email. So we're really thrilled that you were able to come out and spend this time with us. Let me reiterate. I think he can't hear you, Mike. He can hear me, but he can't hear you.
Right.
So let me reiterate Mike's questions. There were two. We thought there was going to be Sapphire on these phones, and they didn't mention Sapphire at all. Sapphire on the watch for sure. Where is the Sapphire? And the second question. How do they say how you would be able to authenticate the Apple Watch during an Apple Pay transaction?
The Sapphire question is that it is a glass cover. They mentioned that during the keynote. Someone else told me that during the demo room. The covers for the watch are actually Sapphire. So if they're putting a little bit of elfin Johnny Ive special material magic, that's where it's going. I didn't hear the second question you had.
How are they doing authentication for Apple Pay on the Apple Watch? Because they were using Touch ID, I believe, on the phone.
Well, not just Touch ID, but also a simple tap to pay. The idea that if you've authenticated this device and you are using this trusted device, it must be okay. I admit that I have not gone that deep of a dive into that question. It is a good question. I think that the impression that I got through the demos, and again, I have not had a behind-the-scenes meeting with Apple or anything, so I didn't get a chance to ask that particular question, but the great thing about the touch is that would be a step removed from the authentication and the payment process. They set up a couple of they went through a couple of scenarios in which it really just seemed as simple as I just want to put my thumb here and now I own this thing. Although that worked more on the online side of things than it did at the actual point of sale areas. But that's a good question. Really, it looks like their big sell for this isn't so much the fingerprint authentication, so much as we have a special dedicated chip that does nothing but keep credit card and transaction information secure. Not only that, but we have a back end and we've got agreements with these other companies that say that the person that you're paying has no idea how you're doing this transaction, only that money goes from point A to point B. They also, of course, made a big deal out of saying, no, we don't want any of your personal information. We don't know where you're spending your money, what you're buying, or how much you're paying. That's all between you and the person you're buying something from. So I don't know if they arranged for the heist of Home Depot consumer data specifically to make this a little bit more interesting and a little bit more relevant, but the timing could not possibly have been better.
Andy Nocco in Flint Center in Cupertino. We'll have more with Andy in just a little bit. We've turned the latency down. I didn't know. There's a knob, and Alex has turned the latency down, so I think it's going to work a little bit better. Alex Lindsay did have to go. We thank you, Alex, for setting this up for us and giving us the live view, which really has made a big difference in our coverage.
Yep.
We hope Renee Ritchie will wander by. And Andy, if you see anybody else that you recognize, you want to pull them over to the microphone and interview them, please be my guest. I'm watching your feed.
You mean
even
like Stephen Fry?
Yeah. Did you get to talk to him? We saw him signing autographs.
Stephen Fry was totally there. He had a handler with him. And unfortunately, I made eye contact with the handler first rather than Stephen Fry. And so therefore, I was cowered into not. He did nothing to the handler. Did nothing to cause me to cower, but it made me think that perhaps I would make this handler's day a little bit better if I did not say hello to Stephen Fry. And so I said, out of respect for Stephen Fry's handler, I decided I'd give Stephen Fry's handler respect by association, because I certainly would have left Stephen Fry alone if I saw him at a coffee shop reading a good book, let him time for himself. I felt as though by association. So the handler got off a little bit easy because he didn't have to deal with 10 seconds of Andy. Mr. Fry, you're not going to believe this, but I was watching National Geographic Channel in my hotel room, and they did the...
We won't tell Andy or show him the video of Stephen Fry posing for a selfie with a fan right where you're standing, Andy, and actually helping by putting his coat over the picture so the fan could get the picture, because I wouldn't want Andy to think that Stephen Fry was actually signing autographs there today.
It's, you know, it's definitely a different Apple, because every time you've seen pictures of, like, Steve Jobs in the crowd after one of these events, they've got, they had, like, a wall of people around him. There was, like, a palpable aura of he is in the crowd, but he is not of the crowd. Right. You are not to approach him. You are not to glad hand him. And Tim Cook, he was out there not for very long, but he was posing for pictures with people. Yeah. I could be mistaken, but I think someone handed him something to sign. I don't know if he did, but he was definitely taking pictures with people. I really do. One of the notes that I have is that this really did feel like Tim Cook's iPhone moment. Because I was also at the iPhone launch, and as stage managed as that was, as rehearsed as it was, I was like maybe 30 feet away, 40, 50 feet away from the stage. You could just see Steve Jobs radiating joy and pleasure that here is something that I and the rest of the team have been working on for years. Finally, I get to show it to people and let people know how awesome this thing we made is. And I saw that exact same thing with Tim Cook today. He was just, he could not stop, like, you know, smiling and like raising up his hand because someone started as soon as they put up that one more thing graphic. I think they thought it would be like a nice little joke for 10 seconds. But there was huge cheers. They had to sort of stand back and just did the...
Yeah. It was a great day for Tim Cook. I think this was a red letter day for Tim Cook. Renee Ritchie has tweeted, by the way, that the watch uses a passcode to authorize pay. As soon as you authorize it, it will maintain it as long as skin contact is maintained.
Huh.
Which is brilliant. So you authorize the watch... as long as you have it on and you haven't removed it, it will continue to authorize.
What if
payments.
You remove the wrist? What if
a crook is? That's another matter. No, I think that's a pretty good technique.
It'd be interesting.
There's a lot of level two thinking in everything that they announced today. Stuff like that. Stuff like recognizing that if someone sends you a text message that seems like a question, this device should be smart enough to parse that question and pop out some possible answers so that you can just answer just by tapping these pre-filled buttons and not just simply yes, no, maybe, oh my God. It's like it would actually find out, do you want pastrami tonight or do you want corned beef? There will be a corned beef button. There will be a pastrami button that you can then tap. It's a lot of companies can make really nice devices. Again, I think the Moto 360 is a very, very nice device. It takes a lot bigger company to, again, do that level two, level three thinking. Where are we missing opportunities to give our user an experience where our device does something and that person says, oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a few experiences with the Moto 360 I've had like that, but that's a signature of Apple design.
But one thing we were talking about over pizza in the break room a few minutes ago is that you don't know how awesome the Moto 360 is going to be in 6 months either. I mean, that's a long period of time.
There's some iteration happening.
Yeah, right. I mean, all the watches are going to be much better. And so this is a watch. You're comparing a watch that you're wearing right now and that's for sale right now that you can buy at Best Buy right now with a watch that's going to come out half a year from now.
We're going to take a break and come back with more. Andy Iannocco is in the Cupertino with us. Mike Elgin in studio. And are you in L.A.? Justine Azarek is also with us.
I am in L.A.
Was it fun watching Tim Cook today, Justine? I mean, did you see the moment where he touched Bono and he practically levitated off the stage? He was so happy.
It was great. I mean, it's just we're used to the Steve moments, but it was great.
Unfortunately, protocol for such events was dispensed with, and most people were standing up because, oh my God, it's you too, Bono. We're at a concert now; we can stand up.
Yeah.
So that was a temporary end to my ability to see things closely, and that was also a temporary end to my own sense of etiquette. And I was thinking, okay, if this is a wall of meat in front of me, I can finally allow to not only stand up but also hold my camera over my head because I need to take pictures of what's happening so I can write about stuff later, which is rude for the people behind you. But okay, I'm not blocking a view of anybody. So yeah, I did see the little thing like that. The little ET touch. So I don't know if that's going to be a new Tumblr meme, but if it's not, there should be. And if someone hasn't already like gone to hover.com and bought, you know, Tim Cook's ET touch with Bono.com or variants thereof,
run and get it.
Then people who are fans of Apple are not as clever as I thought they were.
Hang out there, Andy, for a little bit. We're going to take a break. We'll have more in just a bit. Mac Break Weekly on the air. This episode of Mac Break Weekly brought to you by our good buddies at LegalZoom, not a law firm. LegalZoom provides self-help services at your specific direction. You can visit LegalZoom.com and get some peace of mind protection, planning for your future. You do financial planning, right? You get insurance. You got to make sure your family is protected, too. Where do you turn for legal help? You could trust LegalZoom.com to make that will, to make that power of attorney, the living trust. You could do it all at LegalZoom for a lot less than what it costs to go to a white shoe law firm. We used LegalZoom to file our LLC papers. You could do it for LLCs, S-Corps, and more to protect you against personal liability. LegalZoom was started by some of the best legal minds in the country. They've been doing it for something like 14 years now. They make it painless for you to get the legal protection you need. Do not put it off, especially a last will and testament. And if you've got questions, well, don't worry. You can always reach out to someone at LegalZoom. They'll talk you through the process. And, of course, they have that great legal plan that lets you find an attorney you could trust at a fixed, pre-negotiated flat rate, very affordable flat rate. Protect your family, protect your future at LegalZoom.com. Visit LegalZoom, use the offer code MBW. We'll get you $10 off at checkout. Get legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services at your direction. LegalZoom. It's not a law firm. It's better. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of Mac Break Weekly. We're talking about the Apple announcements. That's the story, really, of the day. Justine, I'm sure you follow the rumor mill pretty closely. Was there anything that you were hoping for that we did not get?
I know they were talking a lot about the wireless charging, which is kind of interesting. Everyone calls it wireless charging, but it's really not. There's still wires. Everything is still connected. So for me, that's not really a big deal. But I know there was a lot of rumors that the Apple Watch. I'm going to be calling it the iWatch. So.
Apple Watch. Apple Watch. Me too. Yeah. It has wireless charging in that, you know, that little inductive thing. But you called it MagSafe, which I think is actually really much more accurate, isn't it?
It's almost exactly like that. But usually when people think of, like, the wireless charging, you think you have, like, sort of like a little, I don't know, like a tablet or something to place everything on, which actually could be kind of nice if, you know, you could set your phone down, set your watch down on that, like, next to your bed or next to your computer, which would be cool. But still, I wonder how all this stuff, how safe this all is. I mean, I sleep with my iPod, or not my iPod, but like my iPhone and my iPad. One of these days, research is going to come out. Oh, yeah, you know, I watch
it's
my
safe. It's safe. Until you're dead, it's safe. It's okay.
Exactly. One of the things, at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right.
One of the things I learned with the Android, with the LG G Watch, which has a magnetic charging thing. You have to line up the little metal things, and it plunks into a little cradle that's magnetic. And when you lift it up, the charger comes with it. And so it has a sticker on the bottom. So you peel away the sticker, and you stick it to your night table or whatever. And it's a really funky, clunky.
That's a good idea, though.
It's a good idea, but it's you can't move it, and it's awkward. And I wonder what Apple's solution is, because it seems like a similar problem is going to happen. If you have this little round disc sitting just on the table next to you, and you put the watch on it, and then you pick up the watch, the charger's going to come with it if it's magnetic.
That's a good point, yeah.
So it's a little inconvenient. They have to have some way to bolt it down, or there's got to be some solution to that, because otherwise you're sitting there peeling them apart.
What about the nude picture gate? I was kind of last week saying, you know, Tim Cook needs to take the stage and apologize, or at least address it. I mean, here he is. iOS 8 puts all of your photos on the cloud, and now we're going to give him our credit cards. We're going to give him all this stuff. Justine, do you feel like he needed to address that, or was it better just to leave it alone?
I mean, I definitely think it was better to leave it alone, because I think there's a lot of people that don't know that that even happened.
I thought everybody knew.
I think a lot of people do, because it is sort of a big thing, but I feel like they didn't want to address it, especially since it is such a sensitive topic. But I mean, I don't have my photo stream on. I mean, I don't have anything bad on my phone, because that is the scariest thing, is I don't care who you are. If you take a picture or you post something on the internet, it's there. You can delete it. It's going to be there forever.
Right.
And that just needs to be the mentality that the kids growing up now have, that everyone has. But it is still scary. Like, what if you lose your phone? Some people don't have passcodes on their phone. And that's something that's so important, because you have not only your bank information, you've got photos, you've got personal information on there that you don't want to be out. So it's going to be interesting how they do address the security, especially moving forward.
I felt like Tim could maybe have said, hey, you know, we believe we are the company for your security and your privacy. We're doing everything we can, and we are going to make darn well sure that this, you know, is secure.
Justine, you said that you don't have personal pictures on your phone, but you're not average either. The average person doesn't really have a sense.
It's by default. If you take a picture, it's by default, not only stored on your phone, but stored on the cloud.
That's right. And so I think that I agree with you, Justine, that this was not the place for Tim Cook to address this problem. But he thinks he addressed it last week, and he didn't. It was, like you say, Leo, it was a missed opportunity, because Apple really does have really good security in many ways. And in other ways, they don't have good security. And Tim Cook's whole point when he talked to the Wall Street Journal was, look, you know, we were not hacked, actually. People were socially engineered. And that happens, and we should do a better job of informing people of what the risks are and that sort of thing. He gave it that kind of language.
He did apologize in effect in the journal. He didn't say, I'm sorry, but that was really what that was about.
He said, I'm sorry if you got hacked through your own stupidity.
Fault.
Basically, I'm paraphrasing.
But he also said, you know, we maybe didn't do a great job, and we're going to do a better job.
But to your point, Leo, that was the opportunity for him to say, you know what, this is a super important issue. You shouldn't have to know what's happening with your pictures.
You shouldn't.
And so we're going to go to great lengths to really strengthen two-factor authentication. We're going to do all these things to communicate to people. We're going to build in better this, better that. We're going to do all the things we're going to do. But I didn't feel like he acknowledged Apple's fault. He seemed to be saying it's not our fault, but we're going to help you dummies to deal with your problem. That was a missed opportunity, because again, Apple has really, really good security. They have excellent encryption, for example. They have all kinds of this secure enclave type of chip that they have for the financial data and all that. That's great stuff. So they really need to get ahead of it. And they're also not a company that harvests your personal data heavily like almost every other company does.
That's an opportunity. That's a
huge
business opportunity for them, right? Yeah.
I think it has to be an education process. I mean, even setting up the two-step authentication on Twitter, on Facebook, on stuff, I mean, it's not difficult, but if this isn't something that you do every day and you don't know, you need to have some sort of easy tutorial. And even for setting up the two-step for iCloud, you have to wait 3 days. I mean, I have it set up now, but I kept missing my 3-day window.
I know.
Like, shoot, now I got to wait another 3 days.
I know.
Like, I just seem like it's a little too much. It has to be instant.
Nobody else does that. I understand why they do it, but I don't think it's required. They also, I think they've changed this, but they as a film girl showed, Christina Warren at Mashable, they don't notify you, even if you have two-factor, right. They don't notify you if you downloaded iCloud backup. So if somebody's stealing your iCloud backup, even if you have second factor, it's not required and there's no notification. I think they now notify you, but it still doesn't protect you. And I think that they can do better than that.
And there's something actually interesting that happened with AT&T and me personally, and AT&T still never really addressed it. But so I was hacked, but AT&T has this thing where you can set up messages that you can receive on an Android device or on a phone or on your computer. So you'll be able to receive somebody else's text messages, which was what was happening. And so people were able to reset my two-step authentication because they were receiving my text messages. Oh. And I had called AT&T and nobody really seemed to address it. They're like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's actually not fine, because I'm still to this day paranoid that someone is able to read those text messages. And, you know, that's something that I think people, there's just this layer of security that needs to be addressed and somehow that we do feel safe. And I think in this digital age, there has to always be that fear of that you're not 100% safe no matter what, as much as we want to be. These people are so intelligent and so smart that are able to overcome
and
pretty much anything.
And, you know, I know that they don't want my nude photos, but you're a target. And you take steps. I mean, you must be aware that there are people trying to get into your system.
Oh, I am, and they have. And I mean, I've got a lot of really terrible failed selfies with no filters on it. So I'm just really don't want those.
We see a lot of you anyway. All you have to do is follow Justine on Instagram.
But it's scary for parents and families and even a lot of celebrities who do have these things on their phones of just pictures of their kids or other people that it's you don't want that to be out. And it's...
Well, and nobody has talked about, but I think is the case. And if you read, there have been a couple of very good posts from Jonathan Jodarski, and another security researcher. It seems pretty clear that the breach that happened was the iCloud backups, because of the nature of the file names and the file structure. Jodarski's pretty sure that at least in some of these cases, if not all, what the bad guys got were the backups. And that's why they have videos. But that also means they have more than pictures, more than videos. They have everything. They
have everything. Text messages. And that's all in there.
And nobody's brought that up. And I'm sure that the counsel to these celebrities has brought it up and made sure they've done something about it. They're not going to do that in public. But that's a big issue. It's a much bigger breach than just photos.
Yeah, and I even went through and deleted all of my old backups, and I'll just end up making sure that all of the backups is currently what is on my phone. But man, when you do lose your phone and you do have that backup, that is just the best thing ever. Yeah, so
I'm back up to my computer now, and I deleted all the iCloud backups, and there were quite a few even from older phones and older iPads. And I deleted, that's the first thing I did. I deleted all my iCloud backups, turned on two-factor authentication. Another good piece of advice is to not use your real name in your email. Those authentication emails, you know, they're one of the reasons this worked is because they were probably likely able to guess the names or the email addresses for these victims. And so if you use your real name at iCloud.com, that's not a good choice. So that's one of the things I think everybody should also do. And especially if you're going to start putting your credit cards in there with Apple Pay. Are you going to change your name from iJustine to Apple Justine?
No, you know, I actually wish I could drop the I, to be honest with you.
You're stuck with it. Are you?
I'm
no.
It.
Really?
Because it's hard, because it's like I love Xbox and I use other things too. So I've kind of pigeonholed myself into being the Apple girl, which, believe me, I definitely am. But man, yeah, it's like I like other things too. Like I have an Android phone. I love Google. Like,
yeah, it's yeah.
Not just this.
You could do the Robert X Cringely thing and be I, comma, Justine.
I.
Justine. There we go.
Yeah, I like it. It's very nice of you to spend some time with us during a Destiny download day.
Oh, I downloaded it last night, so it's actually sitting right over there, so I'm ready to play after this.
Now I really feel bad. Now I'm really guilty.
It's all good. I'm so excited to be on MacBreak.
Did you see that it was 18 gigabytes?
Yes. So I had it downloading because I was able to download it yesterday,
right.
And then the servers went online at midnight, so... So I'm pretty excited to play it. Yeah. The beta was awesome. It's really
I know.
Really fun.
I played the beta and I really loved it. And I, this is MacBreak Weekly. We shouldn't be doing
Sorry.
This.
Sorry. The real question is, are you playing it on Xbox or
PlayStation? Yeah, Xbox One. I love Xbox One.
Okay, great.
I'm an Xbox One fanatic. I know that that's not cool. Like all the cool kids love PlayStation, but I actually, and one of the things I could do is I launched Smart Glass and downloaded the game in the background. You know, I wasn't in front of my Xbox, but you can do it with Smart Glass. Buy the game and download it.
No, it's great. I love all the, like, we have an NFL Sunday ticket, so we actually have.
Where the NFL kind of pops up there? Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It works perfect. It's awesome. We are, I don't know how we got into this. We should be talking. Sorry. It's Destiny. Destiny came out today.
I know.
You know, I was up till midnight playing Diablo 3. I'm trying to get a level 70 character so I could stop playing and play Destiny. And I got to 60. I got to 69. It kills me.
Yeah, I didn't. I played for a while. Oh gosh, now I'm going to get really excited about it. But no, I played when it first came out, and I didn't get the DLC. So I yeah, thankfully. Oh,
so good. All right, let's.
I was working last night.
I know. Andy Inoko is down there at Cupertino, where the sun is shining, and I see that we have moved now behind a fence that says "Private Event: No Trespassing." I think we had to make show him the sign there, because we had to make Andy stand on the other side of the street, because this is Podcasters Row. This is the unaffiliated media standing over here. We'll get back to Andy. Renee Ritchie, I'm hoping, will come by. Renee, we're calling for you. They are both down there. Apple did announce two new iPhones, and surprise, surprise, both will be available for pre-order on Friday the 12th. And we'll be shipping on the 19th. Justine, are you getting the 4.7 or the 5.5?
Definitely 5.5. And
me
I
too.
Just really hope we don't have to camp out for it.
Me too.
I want it to just show up at my house.
Yeah, me too. Will you buy an iPhone? You're an Android
I'm
guy.
I'm probably going to move back to an iPhone. I'm all Apple except for the phone right now. I have a Moto X. I was really disappointed in the screen. And I was looking forward to a Sapphire screen. So if this screen doesn't scratch like my Moto X did, then I'm almost certainly going to move back to iPhone, and I'll get the big one.
I was actually thinking that too.
Yeah,
the 5.5 inches. That's the there were two things keeping me off the iPhone: size of the screen and the keyboard, because I can't use that Apple keyboard. It's been driving me crazy, and now I'm very happy. Well, I feel like, because they're going to have third party keyboards on iOS 8
during the event. Tim Cook said, what matters is how phones make you feel. And I kind of made a cynical remark, Mark, and you pointed out that, you know, that no, that's the core of it. That's really is, in fact, the most important thing. And in fact, that's why I'm probably going to move back to iPhone, because I often borrow my wife's iPhone. And when I use it, I'm just like, oh, man, this just feels so good to use.
See, I want widgets. I want a little more flexibility. You know, it's funny. During the Sony event, they kept saying the word condo. And I couldn't figure out why they were talking about condos. And it turns out this is a philosophy, Sony philosophy, but it's a Japanese word that means essentially emotional power or wow. The wow, it would be, I guess the closest English translation would be the wow factor. And Sony knows it. Anybody who makes consumer electronics knows it. There is this visceral feeling when you use something, not just when you see it in the store, mm-hmm. or see it as we have just done, oh, I gotta have that, but the actual visceral experience of holding it and using it, that is really critical to these kinds of very personal devices. Mm-hmm. Apple knows that, I think, and perhaps better than anybody, even yep. than Sony. And these seem to have condo. I'm sorry, Sony.
It does, man. You just pick up an iPhone. I do still use Android a lot, because I do, obviously, YouTube, everything, all the Google apps work so much better on Android. But then, man, when I have to like post an Instagram or edit a photo, the first thing I do is go back to my iPhone, because it's just, it has that just ease of use, and it just works. I don't know. It's something you really can't explain.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, okay, it works. This
Apple,
is great.
Apple may not have handled the live video stream very well, but they did something very interesting. They disintermediated the live bloggers by doing their own live blog at apple.com.
They did a great job.
They did. Who needs the live bloggers? This is a view. Now you know why they built a big white box. That's where Johnny Ive's been living.
Yep.
It's a big white room.
I think that's the Johnny Ive dining room right there.
And then here's a picture of the phones in the hands-on pavilion and condo. There's definitely, especially to that 5.5 inch. But also I'm glad they're back to the rounded corners. I feel like that this iPhone 4, 4S, 5 era was kind of a bad dream.
It's chunky.
I liked the 4 and 4S design with the metal around the outside and the totally flat front and back and glass on the back. I loved that, all of that. I thought that was very contemporary. And I personally feel like the iWatch and the rounded corners is kind of 70s, 70s.
So you think they're going back? This is a step backwards.
I think they're going. A lot of people have mentioned, including including Jason Snell on Twitter, that the new phones look a lot like flat versions of the original iPhone, with the rounded corners,
yes,
in the middle, and all that.
Justine
stuff.
Said, "Now, how about 128 sure. gigs? That's retro, right, Justine? Who needs that much storage anymore?"
I definitely do, especially for people that do video.
Okay.
Because I take so many photos and so many videos, and that's the worst thing is when you're going to take a picture or do something, and it's like, great, you can't take any more photos or video. And I do like that they upped the, I think it was 240 frames a second.
Yeah, slow-mo, video. Super
yeah,
slow-mo.
240, yeah, 240, which is awesome. And the video stabilization, they really are going after that.
What do you shoot your videos with? You must use a camera now, right?
I do. I mean, I have it sitting right here. But it is big. It's a big right. vlogging camera. And it's just one extra thing that you don't want to have to carry.
It would be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what that is.
Yeah, good iPhone video. Do you use a selfie stick?
I have used one, but you really get made fun of for that. Yeah, I mean, not only do you get made up for filming yourself in public, but it's like you got the selfie.
There's a way around that.
Another layer.
Yeah, there's a way around that. I discovered in Valencia, I was there for Las Fallas, which is a big event. And after two pitchers of sangria, it didn't bother me at all. I felt no embarrassment whatsoever. So look
That's
into
the
it.
Key.
Yeah.
Renee Ritchie is now joining us from Cupertino, where he has just come out of the big white Johnny Ive room playing with the iWatch, playing with the iPhone. Hi, Renee.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome. So tell us, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff here. The watch runs watchOS, something completely new. They didn't want to shrink down iOS. And the security is really well thought out. For example, you put a PIN code into the watch, then it authorizes your payments, but it detects the proximity to your skin. And if that contact is ever broken, you have to reauthorize to make more payments.
That's brilliant.
I think that is brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. And it's a perfect solution.
It's really
solution,
well thought out. There's two sizes, 38 millimeter, 42 millimeter. There's collections, so you can get sporty looks or classic looks, gold looks. And it's really meant to be a complement to the iPhone because you have to have an iPhone to use it. We saw that before with the Galaxy watches from Samsung. But this really wants to be sort of a companion device.
What are they saying about watchOS? I was really wondering about that. Apple now has three OSs.
They do. It's interesting. They wouldn't tell me the details, so I couldn't find out if it has the same kernel, if it's using the same drivers for anything. But the same way they didn't want to put OS 10 onto a watch, they thought, you know, you don't want to cramp down a computer to a watch. They didn't want to cramp down phone and tablet software. They didn't want to cramp down phone and tablet software onto the watch. They wanted to make it its own dedicated, specialized thing.
What is your sense? Because you've seen it now, an actual size. It's hard for us to tell. We're watching 3D renders and CGIs. We did see Kevin Lynch actually demo it, which was encouraging. They have at least one working prototype. But you were able to at least look at it. It looks like a nice display, but it also looks like those are tiny pixels, and especially those tiny icons in the user interface. Do you feel like this user interface works, Renee?
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's 320 by 320 Retina display. It is small, but they're using the crown almost as a new next generation jog wheel from the old click wheel from the old iPods. So you can zoom in and out with those, and it's got that sensor on it so that you can feel it. You can feel it vibrate, the taptic sensor, so that you really can tell. It'll tell you left or right directions, for example, and you can tap the interface. There's a whole bunch of different sort of things you can do to navigate your way around it.
Well, there was a couple of things that I noticed about that. They seem to be emphasizing the haptics, and Apple's taptics. But Apple's always been really good.
A word Apple
taptics,
made up,
yeah.
I might
of course,
add. Yeah.
Of course. They've always been really good.
It's got
with
a whole
that.
Motor, a taptic motor inside, right next
Does
to
it?
The S1 processor, which powers the watch.
Does it feel? Were you able to feel it in the demo? I love the idea of tapping left to go left and tapping right to go right. What does that feel like?
It's interesting. So the watches they gave us weren't fully functional, but they were running demo software that took you through a range of applications, including the taptic sensor. So you put it on, and it showed you the different things you could do. And you do feel sort of – it'll take me a while to really understand it. I'm not that sensitive to it. But you can feel sort of a difference in where it's vibrating on your arm for the things like left and right. And Apple, the company that doesn't like hardware buttons, it has the crown, but it also has a hardware button that lets you go into that special friend mode where you see all your friends and you can, you know, sketch to them in these nice little animated doodles.
I'm not going to be the guy that says Steve Jobs would have hated this. Mm-hmm. But I have to think that this is something that would not have come out under Steve Jobs. That this is really, it's clear, this is literally Tim Cook's first new product, brand new product category introduction. And it does feel very much like something different and new from Apple. You agree, Renee?
Absolutely. He used the famous one more thing line. You referenced Steve at the very beginning. This might not be a product Steve Jobs would have made, but it's a product that Johnny Ive really, you know, wanted to make, was very personal to him. And it's really in the spirit of Apple. Everything they've done since the Apple II to the Mac to the iPhone to the iWatch has been to make computers more personal, more accessible. It's unfortunate it still needs an iPhone because you can't put Wi-Fi or LTE on your wrist without basically burning your wrist off. But one day, this might be just enough computer for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the accessibility stuff, just having the Taptics and having that, that's very powerful for people who want to do indoor navigation but are hard of seeing.
Renee, Richie, thank you so much. We're glad you got to go and see it in person and have the experience, and we're really glad we got to talk to you. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah, you're going to want the 5.5-inch phone. It's big, but optical image stabilization is so good-looking.
Yeah, we've already decided. Everybody. In fact, I wonder, it's going to be interesting. I suppose they'll sell some 4.7s, but everybody I've talked to so far, mm-hmm. including Lisa and Justine, want the big phone. They want the 5.5-inch phone. It may be that that phone is going to be in short supply, not because of production issues, but because that's the phone everybody's buying.
It's going to be like last year when Apple said gold and everyone said gross, and then they said, oh, my God, I can't get one. And now everyone's saying, oh, 5.5 is too big. Oh, my God, I can't get one.
Thank you, Renee, Richie. Safe trip back to Montreal. Thank you, Andy and Nako. And thanks also.
Leo.
Take care to Karsten Bondi, our producer on the scene, and Zach and Patrick Delahanty, who are down there with the film crew. They did a great job. I am just blown away by the quality. Thanks to Alex Lindsay, too, for providing the live view so that we could do that stream. That's via LTE down from Cupertino. And I'm just saying it looked better than Apple's stream. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It certainly worked better than Apple's stream. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with some final thoughts on this special edition of Mac Break Weekly. Justine is here. Mike Elgin. I'm Leo Laporte, and our show today is always brought to you by the good folks at audible.com. Have you gotten into audiobooks, Mike? I've never asked you.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
do you,
yep,
you listen?
Yep. In fact, I believe I've been a member for longer than you have.
Wait a minute.
So
nobody
2000,
has.
2000.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to check now.
Yeah.
And what's your date? What's your start date?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Because we're really close.
When I started it, Audible was a physical device that you would buy.
That's right.
And it was a big, gigantic thing, and it had a big button in the middle.
I think
purple,
you do predate
gray.
Me, because yeah. I didn't use that Audible device. I used the Diamond Rio as my first Audible device. But so I've been a member almost as long as Mike Elgin. Now, of course, you can listen to it on your iPhone, on your Android device, Windows devices, computers, tablets. I listen on my Sonos throughout the house. Audible is the biggest bookstore of audiobooks, 150,000 titles. I'm gonna look now. I'm gonna go download all my books. This is one of the nice things about Audible. When you buy a book on Audible, it's yours forever. So every book that I've ever listened to, there are a few exceptions where the publisher for some reason has discontinued it or whatever. But virtually every book I've ever listened to is available for listening to again. And you know, so I listen to a lot of classics. You know, Gulliver's Travels, Moby Dick. That's a great performance, by the way, that version of Moby Dick. A Tale of Two Cities, The Three Musketeers. So those are books you read again and again. They're classics. You're not going to put those away. Mike and I both have kind of a love for beautiful physical books.
Yep.
But I got to tell you, the practicality of having a book you can listen to in the car. I used to have a horrific commute. February 7th, 2000 is my first book. When's your first book?
I have to look that
up.
It'd
have to be January to beat me, baby. Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that.
The Best of Science Fiction and Fantasy Unabridged was my first Audible book, February 7th, 2000. Look, at Mike and I put our money where our mouth is. We really are serious fans of Audible. Whether it's fiction, classic science fiction, they have a great selection. The latest thrillers. I saw Gone Girl's coming out as a movie next month. I always like to read the book before I see the movie because the Audible books are like a movie in your mind. You're listening to these great actors and narrators bring these books to life.
Plus, you can be that annoying guy. It's like, oh, the book was way better.
Yeah. Come on. So Gone Girl, a great show. What a thriller that is. Somebody told me, Francine Hardaway said, because I've been saying I have Whiskey Tango Foxtrot in my library and I just haven't listened to it yet. She said, jump it ahead on the line. That's a great book.
You know, a lot of people are sort of having withdrawals because we're between seasons on the Game of Thrones. Go read the book.
The books. I mean, look, there's a ton of stuff waiting for you. Audible.com. Here's the deal. I'm going to get you your first book free. It's easy. Just visit audible.com/MacBreak. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month. A subscription is definitely the way to go. Besides, with the subscription, not only do you get the book a month, you also get the daily New York Times or Wall Street Journal audio digest, so you can listen in the car and get caught up on what's going on. I'm a big fan. I want you to try it right now. You have 30 days free. Cancel any time in the first 30 days. Pay nothing, but that book will always be yours to keep. Your first book waits you free at audible.com/MacBreak. The only tough thing is picking one. All right. I think we're about ready to wrap this up. Justine, it's so great to get you on the show today. And
Thanks for having me.
Talk
always
about,
so exciting.
We don't get many of these. These, you know, Apple's keynotes are every year. But it's really when they announce new categories that it's exciting. I'm thinking about the iPod in 2001. I'm thinking about the iPhone in 2007, the iPad in 2010, and now an iWatch. And I think, I'm sorry, Apple Watch.
Apple Watch. We're going to be doing that for a while.
And I think Apple Pay. Do you see yourself using that?
I do. I mean, I've used it before, like on the Samsung phone. So it's not really like the new technology. But I think that now that Apple's doing it, it's going to be to the masses. And what scares me the most is I've had my credit card stolen. And sometimes, you know, it was like that certain gas station or that time that I handed my card over. Yeah. So I love that extra layer of security is in place.
They're
so it's
doing
really interesting
it.
Interesting to see.
They're doing it right, too. It's a one-time credit card number, also one-time rotating confirmation code. So even if somebody, you know, at the gas station and you use it, somehow got that information, they can't reuse it.
Right.
So they talked about doing it for online purchases as well, which is phenomenal. I think that given the clout that Apple has in the market and the large number, let's face it, of Apple users still in the United States, they're more than half. This is the first time that this kind of tap to pay has some legs. Yeah, I've had it in my Android phone forever, but you know, it was Starbucks and McDonald's. There weren't that many places I could use it. I use Square more.
Well, and there's so many apps too. Even like Starbucks, you just use the app to pay. Like
right.
Dunkin' Donuts, like there's so many of those. They'll just
Dunkin'
stand
it's always
sorry,
gets down to Dunkin'
I'm
Donuts.
So excited!
Why?
This is the first time it's been in California. Well, at least in LA.
So because you grew up in Pittsburgh, you're a Dunkin'. I don't understand the Dunkin' Donuts thing.
It's good. The coffee's good. They have
no,
great
it's
breakfast
not.
Sandwiches.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
Compared to Starbucks, it's much better.
You're saying that Dunkin' Donuts coffee is better than Starbucks?
No.
Oh, yeah. Starbucks is not good coffee. It's just a convenience factor. I go there 3 times a day, and I'm going to tell you it's not good. It's survival.
Justine, it's so good to see you again. I miss you a lot.
Me too.
But you know what? I feel like you're always in my life because I follow you on YouTube, all 3 channels. I follow you on Instagram. I follow you on Twitter. And I'm just always thrilled to see how well you are doing. You are a superstar.
And visit some studio. I love it. It looks so awesome.
Come up and see us sometime. And when they're going to give you a TV series soon, right?
We'll see. We're working on it. But I'm working on a book, so I'm probably going to have to come up and interview you for
What's
that.
What's the book?
If you'd like to be in it. I'm going to tell about the 6 months that I live streamed my life on Justin TV.
That couldn't be more apropos now that Justin is shut down and Twitch has been sold to Amazon.
It's crazy.
Were you the second live streamer after Justin
himself? I was. Yeah. Justin, then Justine. People still didn't believe that was my name, but it was and it is.
Yeah. I'll never forget that. That was crazy. I thought you were nuts.
I was nuts. I still think that's crazy.
Well, you would never do that again.
Never.
Yeah.
Maybe I would for a price.
And you did it for 6 months. And I hope you're getting a big check from Amazon.
Nope.
What?
Nobody makes money with books anymore.
No, not for the book. Oh, for putting Justin.tv on the map. Did you get stock?
I should have asked for stock. No, I screwed up. You know what? I had a good time. I met a lot of friends, and still a lot of the people that watch me today are kind of from that JTV days.
Yeah. You can't pay the rent with friends.
It's going to be a fun story.
It's like, no, it's like me. I never got paid for Tech TV, but it did get me started, so that's a good thing.
It was fun. You met a lot of people. It was great.
You're the
best.
Me
and my grandma used to watch Tech TV, so I would have never known of you if it wasn't for that.
Justine, we miss you so much. I'm so glad that you're doing so well. Come back again. I know you're too busy. But when your book comes out, can we get it? Can we get you and plug the hell out of it?
Yeah, no, I want to come and visit. I need to see the studio.
Deal.
This is great.
Deal.
I'll let you know.
Don't have to
I'm
ask
planning
twice.
A San Francisco trip.
Please do.
We'll come up and visit.
Thanks, Justine. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mike Elgin, he's the news director here at the network. Does a great job. If you have not seen TNT lately, it is I would say easily the best news tech news show in the world. You get the people who write the articles, the people who break the news, the most insightful analysis every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. And it's thanks to you, really. I think our beefed up news presence is really being an important part to our success.
Well, I think I'm like you in the sense that all I ever wanted is to work with super, super smart people and talk about super interesting things. And that's what we do every day at 10 a.m.
Isn't it the best?
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. Tech News Today. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with a normal Mac Break Weekly. Look at Renee and Andy. They're pretending to they're playing with their old phones while they still can. Playing, and we're going to get Andy to do a thank you pixelcore.com and the live view. We're going to get Andy to do a there's some fans a review of the Moto X, which he got last week in Chicago, if we can, and the Moto 360, which he's wearing on his wrist. But all of us who bought these smartwatches knew it was just a temporary thing.
No, Leo, I didn't buy it. You bought yours. I didn't pay for mine.
You bought the Samsung, didn't you?
Because
you were at Google I.O.
Right, exactly. So it's just you. You're the only one.
But we knew, didn't we? And you're going to get the Moto 360 is waiting at your house.
They've already shipped it. I don't know if I've got it yet, but it's coming any second now. So.
But will you replace those watches with the iWatch?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Yeah.
I feel like such a sucker, but I'm going to.
You know, I got to have it. And, I think it's clear that this is several generations ahead of anything else that's out there in terms of the screen.
I still feel like the wearable, there's a conundrum with wearables that has to do with user interface, mm-hmm. that has to do with battery life, ease of use, functionality, that has not yet been solved. I had high hopes that Apple, as they have in the past, would have sprinkled some magic dust on it. They didn't. I don't feel that they solved it completely. I think you're right. They leapt a few generations ahead, but we still have miles to go before we sleep.
They did sprinkle some magic dust on it. The smoothness and high resolution and brightness of the user interface of the icons and the gestures and all that kind of stuff is really amazing.
Yeah.
It really feels like the future. It feels like science fiction almost.
Right.
Other aspects of it, not so much. It's big and clunky. It's got that big dial wheel thing, which, yes, it's a good thing. And other aspects of it are so-so. But for the most part, I think they've hit it out of the park, and I think it's going to be really difficult for anybody to catch up to them anytime soon.
Well, we won't know until next year. That's when it'll be available. But I think we'll all be sporting 5.5-inch iPhones in a couple of weeks.
How long till we see the fake Chinese ones?
Oh, they're already out, I'm sure. <right. laughs> They beat Apple to the punch. Are you kidding? We do Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Please tune in live and join us. Andy and Renee will be back next week, and we will have more insightful analysis. And in a couple of weeks, we'll actually have some product to talk to you about. You can also watch or listen at your convenience, on-demand versions of every show available at twit.tv/MBW. And wherever you subscribe to internet broadcasts, iTunes would be a good starting point. But we have our own apps, all created by our brilliant third-party independent developers on all the platforms, including iOS and Android and Windows Phone. And the podcast apps. I know a lot of you listen that way. So however you listen, I hope you will make sure that you do it every week, because we look forward to seeing you. Now, time to get back to work, because break time is over. See you next time.